Hi everyone, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell. It is great to have you here with us. Today we're going to be studying our business article for the month of January, and we have two interesting articles for all of you, and our title is Business Breakthroughs. And as we know, the world of business is constantly changing, and you have to stay up to date, right? You have to continue to change with the tide and to move with the trends. And so as new technology is developing, different breakthroughs, different changes occur in the business world. And we're going to be talking about two of those breakthroughs over the next couple of days. But before we get into our article, let me introduce my friends in the studio with me. We have Simon here. Now, Simon, it is always great to have you here for business articles.
It's good to be here. I like business articles. I think the subject is interesting, and I can't wait to discuss this with you guys today.
Yeah, you've got a good business mind, so it's going to be interesting to hear what you have to add to the program. And we also have Joshua here. How are you doing, Joshua?
I'm doing really well today. Thank you very much. I'm also excited to be here talking with you guys about trends in business. I've always been interested, especially in global trends and the way that that's really shaping and changing our future.
Perfect. Well, then you guys are the perfect people to be talking about this article for today. So today we're talking about on-demand business model and how it's going global. Now, Simon, can you explain what is on-demand?
Well, it is a sort of a tricky term in that it can be a little misleading. Basically, when we demand something, it means we want it. And so an on-demand business model actually means you get something when you want it. And mm-hmm. So, for example, think about using your cell phone to get a taxi exactly where you want it, when you want it. That would be on-demand.
Right. And this on-demand is kind of something that has developed as technology has developed, right? In the past, there was really not so much of this on-demand.
That's right. And as I sit here thinking, I realize it's interesting that I used the example of taxis, because taxis, of course, are facing a lot of problems around the world with the on-demand ride-sharing app Uber.
That's right.
Right? Uber is, I guess, very convenient, and it's giving taxis a hard time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It used to be you'd have to go to the street and stick your hand out and hope to find a taxi that was available. But now you can call a taxi, you can call a ride, and have it pull up at your front door.
That's right. And this business model has really grown far beyond that. We're using a lot of examples here of transportation. But if you think about it, this goes a lot further. For example, having food delivered to your home mm-hmm. through your phone, or maybe having products delivered.
I remember the first time I heard of an on-demand service. It was actually connected to cable television.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be, back in the good old days, you had a television program that was broadcast at certain times, and that was your only choice. So if you wanted to tune in to see your favorite show, you had to make sure you were in front of the television at that time.
That's right.
Or you use a recording device in order to be able to record it.
Exactly.
So you could see it later.
And you'd have to set that recording device. Not that I know anything about that, because, you know, I am a lot younger than you guys.
That's rough.
But now they have on-demand cable service, where in your cable provider, they will give you the ability to choose programs to show or to stream on demand. So that was my first exposure to real on-demand service.
Yeah, and now it's all moving online with Netflix and with Amazon. So it's pretty much you can watch whatever, whenever you want.
Exactly.
So quickly then, an on-demand business model is basically a business that gives you what you want where you are, instead mm-hmm. of setting up a store or a place you have to go to get the thing at a time that is convenient for the business or when the business is open.
That's right. So you can get whatever you want, whenever you want, wherever you want it. Now, how is this business model going global? Well, we're going to be talking about that today. So you can join us if you have your Advanced magazine, which I hope all of you do. You can turn to page 42, or you can join us on your mobile device.
Business breakthroughs. How will on-demand needs and virtual reality change business? On-demand business model goes global. As U.S. startups compete to make everything available at the tap of a finger, a group of entrepreneurs from the developing world is using those on-demand business models to make life easier for consumers in their home countries. A growing number of people in Africa, India, and Latin America are online and using smartphones, and investors say there's a huge potential market for apps that offer ride booking, instant delivery, and online marketplaces.
All right, so let's get into our article. Today, we are talking about on-demand business models. And our article starts off talking about U.S. startups and how they're competing to do what, Joshua?
Well, how to make everything available at the tap of a finger.
What does that mean? What are we talking about when we're saying that we're trying to make everything available at the tap of a finger?
Well, it basically means that you can get it through your phone,
mm-hmm.
right? When you use a smartphone, you tap the screen with your finger. And so the idea being not only that you can do it with your smartphone, you know, in the past you were able to make a phone call, for example, and wait and talk to the person and have things delivered.
Right.
But this time you don't have to talk to anybody. You just tap on the thing you want and it comes to where you are.
Yeah, and this goes to... I mean, you can use this for a lot of things. I mean, I remember just last week we were talking around our office about there's a local coffee shop that has an app and you can order your coffee before you even get into the store, you know, and you can have it ready for you and you can have it there for you when you go in and you just pick it up and pay for it and you can go. So this tap of a finger is really, really convenient.
Yeah, that's right. And it tells us that U.S. startups or U.S. companies that are new companies with new ideas mm-hmm. are competing to make everything available. It's interesting because you mentioned that you can go online with the app and order your coffee in advance.
Mm-hmm.
But many of these startups and companies are actually competing to give it to you where you are.
Right,
so,
deliver it to you.
That's right.
So you don't even have to go pick it up.
Yeah.
Talk
and
about
the thing with
right?
a lot of these startups is they're kind of, they kind of partner with a lot of businesses, right? And I think of different examples like food delivery services where they aren't necessarily a restaurant, but they've connected with several restaurants within a city and you can go to their website, order from these different restaurants, they'll go pick it up for you and then deliver it to you. So this is an example of the on-demand. And now, in the first world's countries, this is kind of something that's been available for a long time now. Well, you know, relatively long time. But now entrepreneurs are bringing it to the developing world. Now, what are we talking about when we're talking about the developing world?
Well, it's a very good question. So in the developing world, the traditional sense are worlds or parts of the world that don't have a whole lot of infrastructure that they've had to build up over a long period of time.
Right.
So what they would say for maybe developed or first world countries would be places like, you know, China or US or Europe, where they've had a long history of development and infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And other countries like some parts of Central America,
mm-hmm.
some parts of India, for example, where right. they haven't had a long history of development and infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
right? So this is what they're talking about when they say the developing world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. The term developing world can be a little troubled in some ways because
mm-hmm.
not all developing countries are actually developing. Some are kind of moving backwards. Some
mm-hmm.
are staying still. But in English, we've had a hard time coming up with more appropriate terms. So actually, Campbell, when he introduced this, he used an older term. He said first world countries,
mm-hmm.
right? And some of our listeners, you'll be familiar with first world, second world, third world.
Mm-hmm.
There's also terms like developed or developing
mm-hmm.
or sometimes newly industrialized countries. And they all have various meanings, often similar meanings, but with slightly different ideas associated with them.
All right. Good thoughts. So basically the idea is, you know, there are entrepreneurs that maybe spent some time in the U.S. or in these developed countries, right? And they've kind of gotten used to this idea of these on-demand services. And now they want to bring it back to consumers in their home countries. And the purpose is to make life easier for consumers or people who are spending money or purchasing these services. All right. So a growing number of people in Africa, India, and Latin America are online and using smartphones. Does that surprise you guys, or is that something that just kind of is like, oh, that makes sense?
I think we actually talk about that a fair bit in Advanced Magazine, don't we? So it's not really a new idea for me. We've spent a lot of time in the media in the last few years talking about how cell phones are really changing developing countries and helping them in a lot of different ways. And so I don't find it too surprising. But at the same time, we don't always think about things like smartphones when we think about poor countries.
Mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to live in Costa Rica.
Right.
For almost a decade.
Yes.
Costa Rica itself is pretty well developed. They do have a lot of infrastructure there. Mm-hmm. But there are plenty of areas outside of Costa Rica or areas where it's very rural.
Right.
And they don't have a lot of infrastructure. So not even a lot of telephone lines, for example. But it's very easy for someone to go and buy a cell phone.
Yeah.
Right? So it's very easy for someone to put up a cell tower and not to put up phone lines all over the place. So it wasn't too much of a surprise to me to see in a lot of parts of the world you'll have countries where they may not have the infrastructure, but they can put up a cell tower and everybody can get cell service.
Yeah. Yeah, so it seems like smartphones are really changing the world, and that's kind of, you know, a statement that's kind of just generic, but it's true. You know, I feel like smartphones really are changing the world, changing the way people live and the way people do business, and investors are looking into this, and they're realizing that there's a huge potential market for this, right? And the apps that offer ride booking, instant delivery, and online marketplaces. So three different services. What are we talking about when we're talking about ride booking?
Well, that was what we were talking about when we were talking about taxis and Uber. So the idea being that you send out a message with your phone that brings a car to you that gives you a ride. So sometimes we book a hotel room or we book a plane ticket, basically meaning we reserve it or have it saved for us. And this is the same thing. You're just booking a ride in a car.
Yeah. What I love is that a lot of times you can just connect your cell phone or your credit card to that app. So you don't even have to bring any cash or you don't have to bring your wallet. You can just call for that ride. And then, you know, when you get in the car at the end of the ride, you hit a button and you've paid for your ride. And it's really convenient. Instant delivery. Again, we're talking about things like food and coffee and beverages and sometimes even just ordering things online. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then online marketplaces. So this is something that's, you know, been around for decades now.
That's right. There's lots of online stores or online shops, but online marketplaces are a little different. They're a lot more like a night market or a morning market that people might be familiar with. If you go to a night market, there isn't just one company there. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of different little businesses, each selling their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same idea with an online marketplace. So you go online and you see a whole bunch of different sellers selling things at the same site.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this is something, again, that has been available in developed countries for a while, but now people are starting to bring it over to developing countries, and there is a huge potential market for investors. All right, so this is an emerging market. Now let's learn more about this emerging market.
An emerging market. We're seeing a huge increase of people in the developing world with access to smartphones and access to mobile. And that is really fueling the growth of these companies there, said Kat Minyalik, a partner at Y Combinator, a venture capital investment company. In India, Go Lorry uses a smartphone app to connect factories and truckers, allowing businesses to ship their goods more efficiently and for a lower cost, said co-founder and CEO Sanjay Mendava. The business model also allows truckers to eliminate the middleman. Such transactions usually are arranged by a broker who keeps a cut of the proceeds.
All right, so how is this emerging market happening? Well, we discussed a little bit about this earlier, right? There's a huge increase of people in the developing world with access to what?
Well, basically with access to the internet. Here we use the term mobile. Sometimes people say mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, people are getting more access to the internet through their cell phones.
Right. You know, it used to be where, when I was a kid, we'd have to actually go to the store, right? And then when I got to high school and college, suddenly the internet was developed and you could use computers. But you still needed to be home, right, or in a physical location. But now you can be wherever you want to be as long as you've got a smartphone or with mobile access, and you can get online and order stuff. And this is really fueling the growth of the companies in these developing countries. Now, what are we talking about when we say that something fuels the growth?
Well, this is very similar to another expression we would use to say fuel the fire, right? So this is giving something to growth or giving something to a fire in order to cause it to grow really fast and expand.
Right. Yeah, it's in a way it's fertilizing it. It's kind of causing it to grow quickly. And this is a quote from a woman named Kat Manyalik, and she's a partner at Y Combinator, and this is a venture capital investment company. Simon, what is a venture capital investment company?
Well, venture capitalists are people who give money to new ideas or new products, but they don't just give the money because they're good people. They're actually trading that money for a share in the profit if the company is successful.
That's right. So they are investing in a way to earn money, right? So they're using their money to make more money. And so as a partner, so she's probably one of the chief investors. So she's probably got some money and she's probably looking for places to invest in. And so they kind of evaluate the market, and they evaluate the potential for growth and whether they're going to be able to earn their money back. All right, so in India, we hear about a company from India named Golori. Now, this is an interesting name for a company, right? What is a lorry exactly?
Well, it is interesting because the name lorry, L-A-U-R-Y, is actually a girl's name. But in this case, the name Lorry, L-O-R-R-Y, is sort of a British-English term for a truck. And so think of a company that has trucks. Go
right.
Truck.
Right. Now, you used to be a truck driver, right, Simon?
You're telling all my secrets in public now, Campbell. It's true. I spent some time in the trucking business.
That's right. So maybe you could work for Golori someday.
Yeah.
If English teaching doesn't work out for you.
That's right.
All right. So Golori is basically a company, and they connect factories and truckers, and they allow businesses to ship their goods more efficiently. And what is the benefit of that?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of different benefits. One of the big ones in Western countries is that companies try not to keep too much stuff piled up in their factories. So when they make it, they try to move it out as quickly as they can.
Right.
The main reason for that is it saves space and allows them to keep moving. But sometimes it's difficult to get trucks at the right time. And the main reason for that is you don't want to have 30 trucks with drivers waiting outside while you're making stuff.
Right.
So you need trucks to arrive just when they're needed so you can fill the truck quickly and move the things out.
Right. So this is an interesting business model, because usually when we talk about on-demand, we're talking about the average consumer, right? We're talking about the customer. But this is actually a kind of a what we call B2B. It's a business-to-business kind of service, right? And so the businesses also need some on-demand. They call, as Simon was saying, they call for the drivers or the trucks to come when they need it. Now, this business model allows for more efficiency and for lower cost, and it allows truckers to eliminate the middleman. What does that mean, to eliminate the middleman?
Well, basically what it means is getting rid of the person in the middle. So, for example, in this particular instance, we're looking at connecting factories and truckers without needing a logistics or a dispatcher in the middle, right? So an app that just gets rid of that entire aspect of the business or the middleman and goes straight from factory to trucker.
Right. So basically in the past, for a trucker to find a job, there was no way for them to contact companies directly. They needed to go through a broker.
Yeah, that's right. They'd basically sign up as like a contractor with a trucking company, and that company would give them jobs to do. But The difference here with GoLorry is that drivers can go on the internet, they can find people who are looking to ship things, and they can just agree to ship them without losing part of the money to that middleman.
Mm-hmm. And so because the middleman is cut out, costs can be lowered, but then the profit margin is also higher. Okay. Well, that's why this next section says every cent counts, right? So let's continue reading our article.
Every cent counts. While some on-demand startups in Silicon Valley are struggling with the high cost of instant delivery, Simon Borrero says the business model is ideal for dense Latin American cities. Wages are so low where he operates. He says about a third of residents make less than $1 an hour, that Borrero racks up minimal costs. His couriers make the equivalent of about $2.50 an hour. Maybe that doesn't sound like much here, Borrero said of his couriers' wages, but for those guys, it makes a huge difference in their lives. Knowing the difference. Andrew Chung, who invests in companies that bring U.S. and European technology to the developing world, said those local changes can give a company an edge. Having cultural language sensitivity, having an understanding of the local market, having the access to local distribution channels in an unfair way, all these things are typically easier if you're someone who's from there, he said.
All right, so every cent counts. While some on-demand startups in Silicon Valley are struggling with the high cost of instant delivery, there's a man named Simon Borrero. And what does he say about this business model?
Well, he basically says it's perfect for Latin American cities, and he uses this word dense to explain why. And basically what he means by dense is that there are a lot of people living in a very small place mm-hmm. in these Latin American cities.
Right. And so why is this the perfect model?
Well, he says specifically that wages are so low where he operates that about a third of residents will make less than a dollar an hour that he can rack up minimal costs.
Hmm.
So in this case, racking up is kind of like scoring or gathering things.
Mm-hmm.
So he's racking up very, very little cost because people get such a low wage.
Right. So he doesn't have to pay as much for these workers to work for him, basically. And in fact, he can kind of offer a higher salary, but it's still relatively lower than what someone might pay for that same service in, let's say, the United States.
That's right. He uses a really interesting word for his workers. He calls them couriers.
Mm-hmm.
And a courier is basically a person who takes something from one place to another.
That's right. So his couriers make the equivalent of about $2.50 an hour, which is not a whole lot in comparison to what people make in the United States or even here
or
in Asia.
Or any place, I was yeah. going to say, really.
Mm-hmm. But he sort of explains that by saying that, you know, it makes a huge difference for these people because it's more than double what the average salary is.
Right. So what's amazing is that to his workers, he's being very generous, right? He's giving them kind of double their average salary. But in the grand scheme of things, in comparison to the world market, he's actually saving a whole lot of money.
Yeah, the other comparison they're making in this section is to companies in Silicon Valley that it says are struggling with high costs of delivery. So
mm-hmm.
if you think, for example, about stories in the news, maybe you've heard about Amazon trying to get drones to deliver things to people.
Right.
Because then they don't need to pay people
right.
to do the delivery because
yeah.
the cost is so high.
Right. I mean, if you think about the average minimum wage in the States, I think in California right now is, I think, about $15 an hour. So $15 an hour compared to $2.50 an hour. That's a huge
jump.
Jump.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's pretty typical when businesses are in trouble or looking at reducing their costs, mm-hmm. that labor is the first one they look at because it is a huge expense.
That's right.
And so that's why this model is perfect, because the cities are dense, which means it isn't really too far to go.
Mm-hmm.
The cities are kind of small mm-hmm. in terms of how big they are, but also because the workers are inexpensive.
That's right. All right. Now, is it possible to just, well, hey, I have a business model. I have a business idea. I'm just going to take it and plant it abroad and go to another country and just put my business there.
Do you want to succeed when you do that or no?
Well, yes, of course.
Oh, I guess the idea then that we're getting from this article is that is probably a pretty difficult thing to do.
Yes, right. So we hear from Andrew Chung, who invests in companies that bring U.S. and European technology to the developing world. And what does he say can give a company an edge?
Well, he says that having a cultural language sensitivity, mm-hmm. right, which is not just the language itself that people are speaking to each other, but also the way that they speak to each
right.
other and the culture behind that.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. So also something that you can't just pick up in a dictionary, right? You have to have real world knowledge of that by knowing the culture and the country that you live in.
Mm-hmm. And having an understanding of the local market, the culture, right, and having access to local distribution channels. These are all different things that go to if a business will succeed or not, right? And so these things are more accessible and easier for you to get if you're someone who's from there. So it's always better to have a local person partnering with you in this venture. All right, well, there was a lot of interesting information that we learned, and this is an interesting development in the business world, and we'd love to hear what you think. Maybe there's some businessmen out there or businesswomen out there who are listening right now, and what do you think about this new breakthrough and this new development? Write to us and let us know. Our email is letters@studioclassroom.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Please do come back again tomorrow when we talk about a new business breakthrough in Hollywood. But for now, it's time for us to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.